Good evening, everybody. And we, past couple weeks, past couple, shurim, we were focusing on a different zmanim of Shabbos. And we talked about that Shabbos is not like a weekday, not even like a Yom Tov. The night of Shabbos, Friday night, is a build-up for Shabbos day, and Shabbos day is a build-up for Shabbos afternoon. Actually, it increases in Kedusha, and not only is it geometrically different, but the whole essence is different. In the tefillah, it's different. In the reality, it's different. And that we said that therefore, as opposed to a weekday or even a Yom Tov davening, the Shacharis, Mincha, and Ma'ariv are different on Shabbos, and there are different motifs, different hashkafas, different ideas. The night is something called Chakal, Tapuch, and Kaddish, the garden of holy fruits, and that's obviously a Kabbalistic idea which we discussed. And the morning of Shabbos is Atik Yomen, and Atik Yomen is literally one of the highest revelations, names of Hashem, in Kesser. And that what we talked about the past, we ended 2 weeks ago, and we talked about it last week, is that during the day, during the morning of Shabbos, we could have a tremendous level of emunah, of faith. And we actually went through at length last week, and we went a little bit long even, to talk exactly about that, what emunah is, of clarity in emunah, and how we live in a world today, a sick world, a chayladika world, a krankavelt, a sick world. What does it mean, sick? The Rambam says that just like one of my kids is sick, right? One of my kids, who like, his mom has probably a flu now or something like that, or a virus, and they couldn't eat tonight. And when you do eat, it tastes terrible. So Rambam says when a person is physically sick, sometimes what's sweet tastes bitter. Sometimes what's bitter tastes sweet. Your taste state is off. Your moral calibration is off. And so the Rambam says in Shemona Prakim that just like in a physical, mundane world, you can be physically sick and things are off, a person could be spiritually sick and they can see the world crookedly and incorrectly. And we talked about people who are spiritually sick and they can't believe in God and they believe in stupid things and they don't even think about why they're in this world in the process and they can't even justify and rationalize when you have a real conversation with them because they want to believe that. And we talked about the level of depth, different levels of emunah, of belief, and not just belief, knowledge. And Shabbos morning we can know Hashem, we have clear vision of it. That's what we discussed last week. So we're going to pick up with that, and really in this idea of emunah, because in Shabbos morning we're supposed to have not just like a leap of faith, so to speak, but a clarity of faith, a knowledge, as we discussed last week. And we actually talked, just to remind ourselves, we talked about what, simple faith is and isn't. It's not a dumb faith. We're talking about emunah pshuta, it's that you don't have to sit there and try to figure out what's obvious to you. Okay, if anyone has any questions or they didn't hear the shift, you're listening it online or in your podcast, wherever it may be, make sure to listen to last week. Okay, on that note, Uma hu ma'os ha'cheshech. What is this darkness, which is not on Shabbos morning, not if it's clear on Shabbos morning, but in general, where a person is machaseh, which this, they can be blinded, they can be covered, kedusha, holiness, emes, truth. Amru Chazal, Tashis Choshech, V'yelayla Zeh Olam Hazeh. This world is our world, like Gemara Baba Siya says, that our world, when Hashem made darkness and it's night, is compared to night. Olam Hazeh is night. Hanu She'etzem Ha'as Olam Hazeh. In this world, you can live a level of night. Choshech V'hester. For example, Mashal, Shabbos Malchasa, this work, how many years old? Approximately? 30 years old, this work. Okay? I think it was nifted almost 24 years ago. So, Mashal le'echad shera telephone elochuti. Person sees a wireless phone. This is before cell phones. Hey, imagine that, before cell phones. My kids think I'm from the Stone Ages because when I was their age, some of the younger ones, there was such a thing as a cell phone. I'm not talking about the Apple phones, the iPhones, or anything like that. There's no cell phones, even the big cell phones. So But it was wireless. It was really a wireless phone. It was like a chiddush, right? So you had a wireless phone, not a cordless phone, whatever you want to call it. Who's shoyel? And you say, wow, this is a wireless phone. It's able, you're able to talk. And again, today it seems like a no big deal. But once upon a time, that was wow. Ich oivra kol elamachshe. Like, how are you able to hear? Guys walking around and having a conversation with somebody in Israel, right? Thousands of miles away. Somebody in London, thousands of miles away. Ich oivra kol elamachshe. Omen loy. So he says, by the way, imagine when this sefer was written, if you would tell somebody, you can give a class on something called Zoom, you can see the person live, right? You can see my hands moving right now, right? You can see a person live, thousands of miles away, and you're listening to them. It's a remarkable thing. Like, how people would be astounded. You know, even 15 years ago, people would have been astounded by the thought. The guy says to him, he sees this wireless phone, you know, how is that working? So you say it's Gali Kol, or even over a telephone. There's telephone waves. There's like waves that transfer, sound waves are transferring the thing to the telephone, to your telephone. You're in a cord phone. You know, I don't think they even make these phones. They have the cords, the wires, and office phones have it, right? You're there, and he's miles away, hundreds, thousands, on a walking, and you're hearing him. How is that possible? So you want to see these waves. Wow, this is amazing. I want to go ahead and see, you know, how is this exactly working? I'm right here. I'm sitting on a chair, and I'm not next to this computer. And how is this computer hearing me? I want to see. Let me see it. How is that? And people with thousands of miles in different states are able to hear me. It's crazy. So the guy says, I want to see how this works. And I want to see if there's something in these waves. So he goes ahead and takes all types of instruments, right? The top notch, the most technical instruments. He wants to see if things that can see, you know, general instruments, you can see things from afar, things very close, and things that are hidden. Maybe microscope. He brings a microscope, a very sophisticated, a very, you know, powerful microscope. Shebekoicho legas avchadikim ketanim b'rosh. You can see even little germs, bacteria, with this microscope. Mistako, and he puts the microscope right by the phone, you know, right where the cordless phone, the wireless phone is, or right now in front of my computer. And he's looking for the waves. Where are these waves that you can hear him? And he looks at his microscope, he doesn't see anything. And then he takes a telescope. You can see from your front porch. You can see the rings around Saturn. This powerful telescope, right? This powerful telescope. And he says, maybe I'll see the waves as they're going. Look, he takes this powerful telescope, right? You can see stars. You can see things millions of miles away. Millions, tens of millions of miles away. Right? Can't see anything. Mustakamafa, he doesn't see any waves. So he says, you know what? I can't see it right now. I'll take a type of netting, which can catch microscopic things. Brings a reshes to go ahead to get it. It can catch even the most microscopic things, but it can't catch these waves. Rav Mavi Panas, or Chazak Mo takes like these super flashlights, like, in other words, it can light up the night, these powerful lights. Maybe you can go and see these waves. Above and below, how is this wireless phone? Forget the cell phones, it didn't exist at that time. Bechorim is stuck, he's looking everywhere. Show me these waves. Tell me this phone works. Show me the waves. He says, all these things don't work. All these, they're a bunch of, they're false and fake. These instruments, I don't see even one wave with all my instruments, with my lights, with my cameras, with my microscope, with my telescope, with my unbelievable netting. I didn't see one wave, one telephone wave, one radio wave, one nothing. I can't see anything. Show it to me. This guy says to my friends, even if you would take something which has, you can never catch it. You're never able to catch any netting. I don't care how microscopic the holes are, or how powerful your microscope or a telescope. You ain't gonna see it. unless you have the right thing to see it. You won't see these waves unless you're attuned correctly to be able to see it. Okay? A guy, you bring a professor in. You bring on a professor. Hamuluma Nicholas Ma'avdo. He says, Machapas is looking. He wants to know about God. Recently, someone, not recently, this happens to me semi often because I publish, I write. You know, I write in different venues and mediums. So a guy says to me, you know, I'm an atheist, so prove me God, right? I actually have a guy who wants me to talk about where God was in the Holocaust. From California, actually, from Southern California right now. Very, very accomplished person, right? So prove to me God. The professor says, prove me God. I'm looking for God. And so he puts on his glasses, his microscope. I don't see God, right? I don't see it. With the microscope, he's looking. I can't see God with my microscope. Takes a telescope. I can't see God. Different than he says, lo yibikol God. I'm trying to catch, where is this God that I can't? Oilo yarech. Goes to the moon, right? Neil Armstrong looking for God, doesn't find it. Becomes a deep scuba driver, can't find him. Amr, so this wicked person, I'm a Russian believer, is he? Right? He says, there's no God. I don't see God, there ain't no God. Afato, he says, what are you talking about? Your God's right in front of you. God's called the whole world is Hashem. Everything's Hashem. Your just problem is you're using the wrong instruments. You're not gonna, if you wanna see radio waves, telephone waves, you gotta have the right instruments. You got the wrong instruments, you're not gonna see it. You don't have to go to MIT, who don't have to do that, right? Right? You don't have to get MIT. You have the wrong, you're looking for radio waves with a microscope, you ain't gonna find a telescope. You're using the wrong instruments. You're not gonna see these type of things with what you're looking for. So what, to see Hashem, what instrument do you need then? Mama Kalim, Seichel Bari. It is a clear Seichel. By the way, the Maral, it's not for right now, the Maral says Seichel. Seichel is, he actually uses it interchangeably with Neshama, the soul. He says the highest level of the soul is your Seichel. And the way the Maral expounds and elucidates it is that if your soul is real, it's not sick, as I mentioned before, that's when you're attuned to Seichel. And the way this passage, Parshas Mishpatim, the more a person's connected to truth, not what they want, but what's truth, the more connected the Seichel will be. Yashrus, straight, to admit the truth. Taras Hamidus, to have pure character traits. And then, if you're tuned correctly, of course you'll see Hashem everywhere. Right? You'll see Hashem everywhere. You'll see Hashem everywhere. The whole world is going to be Hashem. Right? Actually, I'm going to stop here parenthetically. I think I've said this before. Elchanan Wasserman asks, in Kovitz Maimar, Elchanan Wasserman is the greatest student of the Chafetz Chaim, one of the Gedalei Hador, the greatest rabbis, right before the Holocaust, he was Nifter, the beginning of it, actually. And he asks in Kovitz Maimarim, why is there a command to believe in God? That's a ridiculous command. It says, the command is believe in God. Like, either you can't command someone to believe. Either you believe or you don't believe. Like, okay, you don't believe, well, you're commanded to believe. Like, what does that mean? So the Chanan says, belief, it's not for right now, but just emunah is simplistic, right? It's self-evident. Right, it's self-evident. I discussed this last week. If things are self-evident, right? You don't. If you hear me now, right? That I'm alive and giving you a share is self-evident. I don't have to prove that to you. You're watching me, albeit from afar. Do that. There's things even more self-evident. So, how is a person not able to believe things which are self-evident? So he says when you're morally sick. And so Bachan says the mitzvah of Muna is don't do a virus. Don't do sins which make you sick, right? If you eat treif, you will be morally sick. You'll damage your soul. If you eat non-kosher food, you'll damage your soul. If you break laws, if you create a lifestyle for yourself of sin, you will become morally sick, and you will not believe because you'll be off kilter. The calibration will be all off, and you'll see things crookedly, just like a sick person will see things or taste things the wrong way. And so a person who has a seichel, and you see the Hashem everywhere in this world. By the way, the person asked me that question in the Holocaust. You know, the Chazanish said, for the believer there are no questions, and for the non-believer there are no answers. Because if you do not believe, right, and you think the whole perspective of the world is different. Again, I'm not going to poo-poo that. It's a serious question. I'm a good person to answer that question because, and I'm not just a rabbi. I'm a grandchild of four Holocaust survivors. Named it to my two great grandfathers were murdered. My mother's parents were second marriage. Their first spouses were murdered. I have hundreds of relatives direct who were murdered. It's a personal reality. But at some level, if you're not a believer, if you can't see Hashem, then there's no answer for you, right? It's either the beginning of the answer to Hawkins is there is Hashem. Not that there's no Hashem, there is Hashem. I'm not dealing with that now. V'gam oyischa v'kol mahuscha. Right, if you see Hashem, the whole world is Hashem. Everything is Hashem. Even on a simple level, the Holocaust. Why the Jews? Like, you think the whole thing doesn't make any sense, but for Hashem, but for the Jewish people. That means zero. And that the state of Israel comes 3 years later, right? And that the Jewish people get all the Hasidic movements get people. Like, nothing makes sense. On the contrary, even the greatest punishment, which is predicted in the Torah, on top of that, but for Hashem, doesn't make sense. Everything is with Hashem. The whole, look at this world. I mean, you have, look at Israel the past 2 years with all the tsaras that we've had. Like, we're the front page news. Like, yeah, all of a sudden Trump comes in the back. Like, no, it doesn't work that way. You know? We're always, always, everything about, even our tragedies is the biggest proof to Hashem. Even that. But certainly the world itself, Klal Yisrael, however we deal with it, it's all Hashem. And Dafka Beglal Kol Kelim HaMizchachmim HaTelescope, the Microsoft, Gilas HaAnachas Bapazar, Hu HaChayshach, and if you think it's alright, it's, you know, when you're looking that you need to prove this or that, when it's self-evident, you're going to actually get yourself confused. Now, Chayshach is that Kiyam Rak Achat Koltimus Emes, right? Darkness is until you see it. Like I talked last week about the picture, you're looking for the things, you can't see it, but once you're pointed out, once you have that light, you know where it is. You can't deny it anymore, right? Once you understand it, once you see it, once you have clarity, it's not a question anymore. You don't sit there and prove what's self-evident to you. I mean, once you understand it, like we discussed, that's what we discussed at length last week, you know, ask for right away, if you saw it. One guy is there radio waves or not radio waves? Is there sound waves or not sound waves? One guy say they're talking, it's clear. And the guy's in Paris, he's in Jerusalem, he's in London. Another guy's looking for the Galilee call. Another guy's looking for the rays with his flashlight, with his microscope and his telescope. Where are they? Where are they? And really, it's self-evident when you understand what certain things are. Ken Mamish. He says, gives the classic Israeli example. You're on a bus. By the way, I can't tell you how many deep conversations. The difference in Israel, in America, if you take a train and take a train in New York, first of all, you're lucky you don't get mugged. Now you get killed in these trains, you get thrown in front of the train. Plus, they're dangerous, these trains. Right? You're not talking to anyone on the train. You go to Israel, you take a taxi. Some crazy. Go to Eretz Israel, you take a taxi. All of a sudden, you're in the deepest discussions of politics. Like, you take a taxi in America, you take an Uber. No one's talking, they ignore you. You know, first of all, they don't speak English. I don't speak English. But even if they do speak English, you know, they're not talking to you. You know, once in a blue moon, you have a conversation. Right, you go to Texas, all of a sudden, like they want to know your whole life story. You start talking about politics, American politics, Israeli politics. You know, like the buses in Israel. It's like all of a sudden, I've had momish arguments, not like screaming arguments, but discussions, bikuachs, on these buses. When I was a bachur, and I was just learning the Meir Yeshiva, I went to. I can tell you story after story of theological discussions I had on these buses. This is typical Israel, right? So guy gets his kid mom, Ben Torah gets on a bus. Guy gets on a yeshiva bachur gets on a bus in Israel. Sit next to a secular Jew. Okay, now it's not again. I don't want to go to a tangent over here, but a yid is secular in Israel versus America. It's very different. In America, you don't live with each other. You know, one guy's living in the suburbs, this, in his temple. He goes to the temple maybe twice a year, one day Rosh Hashanah, one day Rosh Hashanah, one day Yom Kippur, maybe, right? Half a day, you know. And he sees a religious Jew. Okay, whatever. You don't live in the same neighborhood. You don't really hang, which is a problem, by the way. I lament that because there's a lot of loss because of all of this. But there are claw in general, different neighborhoods. If you're in New York, for sure, in different neighborhoods. Chicago, different neighborhoods primarily. In neighborhoods all Orthodox, or you know, there's very there's, then you have, you know, non-Orthodox Jews in the North Shore or in the Loop. They're not here. They're not West Rogers, Peterson Park, Lakewood. Primarily, there's not one temple here right now. So you're different. You know, taking each other seriously, kind of like ignore. I remember somebody told me about the Bay Area, a person who's in Kirov. He says, you know, whoever goes to San Francisco, it's like a different experience in New York. Yeah, a guy in New York, you know, they'll mention like a Jewish line to you, he's secular. A guy in San Francisco, you can talk to for like 6 months, you know he's Jewish. He won't even tell you he's Jewish. Like, you know, he won't even admit he's Jewish. Like, in New York, they call it bageling. Like, you know, they'll use the word chutzpah or schlep just so you know he's Jewish. But like, San Francisco, but the point is, but in Israel, it's personal, because, you know, the government, it's all amongst the Jews, it's the army versus not the army, it's, you know, which is the direction of the country, and, you know, these conversations are, and every, you know, when you're talking about, you know, 25% of the population being, you know, Orthodox in Israel, at least 25%, and even, you know, you get to traditional, you know, over, you know, and then you have somewhere totally children of kibbutzikim, secular to the core, or Russian and didn't grow up with anything. There is much more of a intensity to all of this. So guys at the bus, he's sitting next to a yeshiva bachar, and he sits next to a chiloni, a secular Jew. Vusholo, I've had this happen to me, I can tell you this. Guys, we're told, you believe in God, show me God. Where is God? If we're looking, tell me believe in God. Lo nisos, I looked for God, I didn't find him once. Where is this God you told me is God? Right? What do you mean? Where is Hashem? Where is the Rebbe Shalom? Zekei Levi Arneu! Right? He picks up his finger. Right? He's wearing red. He named him a ton of tear eye. Right? See my eye? See this eye? You see my eye? What? I'm better than any supercomputer. My eye. We're talking about radio waves. You can hear me in Zoom. My eye is way more connected. Complicated that this, but I actually, without reading the sefer, I mentioned this, you know, a couple weeks ago. Right, you know, your eye is a bunch of tissue, right? It's all it is, and it all connects to the brain. But any meshugana, any shaita who tells you they believe in evolution and they can explain how an eye evolves, they're dumb, drunk with taiva, with desire to live a life of their own. There's no evolution for an eye. It is not. You can't evolve an eye. Be blind for 50 billion years, 50 trillion years, you ain't going to evolve an eye. And it doesn't work that way. Nothing in the world tells you that would work that way. Nothing can happen that way. The eye is more sophisticated. It's like that makes no sense that it works in that way. Right? You have an eye! Just think an eye just came here by itself? My eye! I'm not going to end an eye! Hey, you told me there's a Hashem in this world? You plunge that this is God. You can't make this. No lab. No nothing. Zelkus. My eye. My moyoch. You got a brain? What a brain is? You can write the deepest poetry. Actually, if it's a chedush yeterah, even better. Discover and think all from your brain. Even emotion. You know, what do you think? How does that work? Who made the brain? A lave, the heart pumping blood, right? Klia, anashim, chushim, time, space, heavens, earth, energy, milyoni pratim shal klachad. God, if it's anything, we can be so much we don't understand, but even though we do understand, you can't even write it down. I feel because from a super shul echem elf, you can't write a fraction of all just the miracles that you can see right in front of your eyes, right here and then. Right, take a little piece of sand. Right, in this sand, the atoms, there's enough energy to blow up the world. You know, you can make an atomic bomb. In little matter, there's boundless energy. Does that make any sense to you? Shiraba kolchach aminayis ashiach says v'ilu ahu malik hapanis mark mishcha mechapas. This guy's still looking for God. He can't find God. He doesn't see Hashem. Are you crazy? Are you blind, deaf, and dumb? Yes, he is. He is dumb, deaf, because he doesn't know how to look. He is blind, deaf, and dumb. That's what I have to teach him, if you want to learn. But if you see God, it's everywhere. And you gotta be crazy. By the way, when you meet this chilon on the bus, you ask him, tell me how you make an iron bird. Oh, he ain't gonna answer you, because he can't. I'm not even talking about Jewish people and history and Klal Yisrael. You go so many other ways. But just that alone, there's no answer for that. He doesn't want to hear it. Can't hear it. I'll explain why it's very hard for them to hear. Of course, once many people, you open the light and they can see it, and then it's there. But yeah, what do you need to look for God? It's right in front of your face, your eyes alone, your ears. You can hear me, right? I don't know how that happened, right? But I'm not even talking the radio waves or the sound waves or that little grain of sand that you can blow up, create nuclear energy from. Hashem's everywhere, Pashut everywhere, and every blade of grass. But this guy still can't find God. He can't find Hashem. By the way, most people aren't looking. Okay. It's just an excuse. Most people aren't searching. Every agnostic in the world, you ask them how much they look. There are exceptions. I'm not saying every person. I think most. They gave 5 minutes of thought to the most existential, important question of their life. They can't, you know. I said this story once, but I heard this from roommate Tats, Akiva Tats. I think he was in San Jose, in the Bay Area once or twice. So he said, years ago, I drove in Philadelphia. He said that one of my rebbeim, one of the people I used to speak to many years ago, was Rav Moshe Shapiro, a great gadol. And he said when he was Rav Moshe Shapiro, who was mamish when the Gedolei, the greatest sages, a genius, a remarkable individual. So he said he was on a senior staff of many other things. He said Or Samech for a little bit. For Israelis, it was like a Kirov program. Tats was an American program, like, you know, more beginner, but Moshe gave the highest share. He always gave a share to other places as well. So he said he once saw an Israeli. He was standing on the steps of Or Samech. And he walked over and he said, can I help you? He says, I'm going to speak to Moshe Shapiro. And he said, okay, well, you go up the steps and you walk over there, you make a right and a left, and his office is right there. He says, yeah, but I can't go. He says, why not? He says, because I know when I walk in there, my whole life is going to change. So this is really standing on the steps. Because this is the guy who walked up the steps. He walked up the steps. But he, by the way, the American, that would never happen. Just because, for many reasons, they know way less, they're not even, but this guy was, he knew that life could change, but, you know, in a minute. America, they would go, they have a conversation, blah, blah, blah. But obviously, it happens very often. Many people on this call have that experience, but like that, you're on the steps, but of course you'll see it. Of course you'll see Hashem's everywhere. You have to open your eyes. You need the right instruments. You need the right kingdom. You have to be an honest person. You have to be a holy person. You have to look for truth. Not what you want. Very often, the things that Torah demands that we don't want. Not, of course, it's for our best. We don't want it. It's not convenient always. But once you have that, and you're looking for truth, and you live truth, I mean, that's the Hashem. And this level, actually, of clarity, is in specific for Shabbos morning. After 12 hours of Shabbos, when a Yid goes to Shul Shabbos morning, you go to Shul, and it's really, really, you get to Shul. You come late to Shul Shabbos morning. What a loss. Hate to see it, unless there's a good reason you're a loser. Why are you a loser? Because you lost out. You could be a billionaire that Shabbos morning. Come to Shabbos morning early, do the Parsha. Say good davening. or a cheer there, Shabbos morning, you understand what davening and the shul on Shabbos morning is to get close to Hashem, the psukkah, the zimra, the davening, the liturgy, amazing, beautiful. Right? Yeah, 12 hours to build up Shabbos. Now you're in Atuk Yomin, you're in the level of Amunah. And you'll go to shul and you see Raya Eitz, Raya Evan, on the way to shul. You're seeing the trees, you're seeing the stones, you're seeing God everywhere. You're at a level of Shabbos, plus you're not busy during the week. Pasha, I'm not joking, by the way. It's scary to drive. I was on the driving last night or 2 nights ago, and a guy near is actually very funny. He's on his, you could see, like, oh, I watched the whole thing happen. He's on his phone, driving with his phone like this in front of his face. Pasha, that's dangerous to the whole world. And the police pulled right up and put on his lights for him. Like, he didn't stop him, though. And, like, he points at the guy, like, what in the world are you doing? Because it was a couple lanes, and the three-way, he must have seen him. Today people, they're walking with their phones on the street. They don't see Hashem. They don't see the rocks or trees in front of them. Lucky they don't kill people, they bump into them. I'm serious. You know, people don't think today. You're not going to think, you're not going to see anything. You walk on the street with your phone or talking on the phone or thinking about whatever, your latest chip or what bagel you're eating for breakfast. Not potato chips, no computer chips, right? You know, what bagel you're eating for breakfast, you're caught up in some stupid, you're upset at one in your mind. You know, like people start I'm not joking. The other day I saw a guy having a conversation. This is a normal guy, by the way. Literally in shul, after that, literally playing out a conversation in his head. I watched it, I do this. So in his, I don't know what, who he's angry or who he's worried about, or what's on his mind. But the guy is having a conversation to himself. He's not a normal guy. So apparently this individual had other things on his mind, and it was consuming him. So if you have it, you're not going to see Hashem. But on Shabbos, you're not on phones. You're not making computer chips. You're not doing anything else. You're way holier ground. You're in a way better situation to see Hashem. You walk to shul Shabbos morning. Hashem's everywhere, right? Mi Bara, who created the world? Who did all this? If you have a Shabbos, why? What's the point of Shabbos? Stop and sing it. Shomei Ezer Shiri can literally hear the song of the world, and you can sing it, and you can connect to it, and you can live it, right? And you can live it. And that's something that, in particular, it's every day of the week, by the way. It's every moment of the day. But in Shabbos, it's miyuchad to that. We're in Hashem's presence on Shabbos. And the morning of Shabbos is Atik Yomin. I wanted to go further, but I'm going to hold here because I don't want to rush. This is important stuff. It's important stuff not just for Shabbos, but for life. You know, we live in a world today where there's a sick world around us. We live in a world where we should be seeing Hashem everywhere, and people don't say it or see it around us. Right? And even, by the way, in current events, when they read a newspaper, they don't sing it. It's all about armies and money and this. But it's all Hashem. It's like, yeah, you're joking. With the Jewish people, it's all Hashem. It's nothing, but, it doesn't mean to, of course, if you need to make money, you have to go to work, you know, win a war, you're in an army. But it's all Hashem. The more connected we are to Shabbos and to Amunah, we'll see Hashem everywhere else, and we're more matzlech, and we'll be more successful. So I'm going to hold here. I think, next we're going to talk a little bit about the clarity of Shabbos, and actually we're going to touch about the differences in the prayers of Shabbos, which illustrate that, and then we're heading up to, probably not next week, but the following week, talk about the higher level, which is the afternoon of Shabbos, and why we usually think the afternoon is like more of a chill time, more relaxed. Most shuls, which are a little bit, not as intense, Shabbos afternoon is less people that come to, and on the contrary, the Shabbos afternoon is the Rava, the highest level of Ratzon. We'll talk about that probably in a couple weeks. So until now, we'll hold to Shabbos. We should have a good Shabbos, a good Rosh Chodesh Adar, and we should be marv the Simcha this month. We should have good things, and amongst everything else in this world, on the Klal Yisrael for our lives and everyone else. We have every good